This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as our guest on the line, Gordon Spader, who is the co-founder of Kurgo, a company that really seems to be out there and getting a lot of publicity lately. Welcome to the show, Gordon.
Having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Gordy, if I can ask you a question for any of our listeners who may not have seen you on Good Morning America or may not have read the story in the Wall Street Journal last week about you, can you explain exactly what Kurgo sells?
So we sell a line of products, everything that you need to go out and get out and see the great wide world together with your dog. So we encourage dog owners and their dogs to get out and do things together. And so the whole range of products is everything to help you bring the dog in the car with you, whether it be a harness to restrain the dog or seat covers to keep your seats clean. So if you're out there right now driving around and you have a dog in your car, we have all the products you would need to make that a great experience for you and for the dog.
Well, I can only imagine how this came about. As I've told the story of this interview, I was telling the story of my experiences with my dog, and whether it's the fly or bee that comes into the car that all of a sudden the dog races after in order to try and catch, or the motorcycle that comes up next to it. But if your animals are not restrained in your car, boy, it can be a frightening experience.
It was really born out of my brother, who is an industrial designer by trade, and he had a really energetic plot hound, which I don't know if you, the plot hound is a bear hunting dog, has tons of energy. And Zelda was the name of the dog, and she liked to come into the front seat of the car. So Kidder, using his sewing abilities and his industrial design background, came up with our first item, which is called the backseat barrier, which we still sell. That's a very popular item for us still today. And that was, it went between the two front seats of the car and kept the dog from coming into the front seat of the car and nudging your elbow, or in Zelda's case, being a little bit more aggressive about coming into the front seat. And that spawned all the other items. There were a few items out there before we started, but they weren't really packaged together and put together in a way that was really easy to use for the common everyday driver. So we've brought tons of, you know, all these items together. We have about 25 different products, and like I said, it's for everyone from a mini pincher driving in a Suburban to a Labrador Retriever driving in a Mini. So we kind of cover the whole gamut of size of vehicle and size of dog.
Interesting. And Gordon, can you explain to me, why is it that lately it seems like there's been a lot more publicity toward these products? Because they have been available in the marketplace for several years.
You know, I think it's really because of the distracted driving piece, where that's been getting a lot more attention, where you have people who are more concerned, and they see it. You see it every day on the road, someone swerving in front of you on the highway because they're texting, and that's become unacceptable, which it should be, because it's worse than drinking and driving, and in terms of the statistics of getting in an accident. And then that's become unacceptable, and people also realize that a dog on your lap can do exactly the same thing. And I can tell you stories from Wisconsin, from Florida, from California of dogs causing accidents, and no one thinks it's going to be their dog. It's like any other safety item. No one thinks it's going to be you until it is. And then what most people will say is, gosh, if I had just spent the $25 on that harness or on that booster seat, I would have, A, felt like I wanted to bring my dog with me more often, and this never would have happened. It never would have happened to the dog if the dog was injured, or it never would have happened to me. So it just, all those things, you know, are so preventable and avoidable.
Well, and I think as a populace, we would text and text for years, and then finally somebody brought to our attention, and we looked at, you know, test runs and whatnot, and seeing how distracted we really are. And then before you knew it, we were having to have our phones pulled out from underneath us. And it's like, if that's not fair, it's not fair to have somebody driving around with a dog either. you know what I mean? It hits home. So, you know, now we're looking at all the different things from eating to animals in our car, you know. And so it would make sense that more and more people are concerned if we're getting to the root of the problem and as that's become better drivers, it would make sense that we would want to control our pets as well.
And I think you're right. I mean, we don't specifically stand out and say there should be a law. And I think people should just take responsibility for their own act. I mean, that's just, and we're just providing the tools so someone can be a responsible pet owner and driver. So that's, and yet at the same time, you need to make it really easy because otherwise it's not going to happen.
Well,
so that's also what we've worked on.
A little easy on, tell us about the idea of restraining your dog with respect to maybe essentially the equivalent of a car seat. What product do you have there, and how easy is it to put on the animal?
Yeah, I mean, the most core item is a harness. So a harness that you put over the dog. It looks a lot like a walking harness that you might find, and it's mm-hmm. actually a great walking harness. But at the same time, it's been it's more strongly built and tested for use in a vehicle, and it just slips over the head of the dog and then buckles around the midsection. It's very easy to put on. They come in four sizes, from a small size up to an extra large size, so it'll fit. Currently, we have them that go from 10 pounds up to about 100 pounds, and we are adding a size that will go down to about 5 pounds, so for the whole range of dogs. And that is a very popular item because it is great for riding the car, but you get another use, which is just walking the dog. It's better than a collar, as you know, because the collar pushes on the trachea and the harness. You're able to control the dog from their chest, which is better for the dog and better for the person walking. So that's kind of the core, and then it goes out from that with specialized booster seats for small dogs that allow them to be up and so that they can see out the window and off the lap of the driver, which is the most important thing to keep the dog away from the driver, who's the key safety element, like, you know, the most active safety element in the car.
Well, I would say keep you away from the driver or the driver's cup of coffee, because
right.
a misplaced paw has caused many interesting experiences.
Right.
Gordy, let me ask this question, because one of the joys of having the dog in the vehicle is the sight of them putting their heads out the window in order to just enjoy the breeze as it goes by. Are the dogs still able to do this in spite of your inventions, or is that prevented?
It really, you can set it up certainly. So if that's possible, we have another item called the auto zip line, which the harness attaches to, and you can attach the auto zip line between any two fixed points in the vehicle. So let's say you could attach it between the handles and that are from the ceiling or from the side and the rear, and the dog can then walk back and forth on the bench seat in the back. And if you set it up and give the dog enough leeway, they could certainly stick their head at the window. And there are some people that are concerned about that because dogs can get bugs in their eyes. But there are plenty of other people who say, you know what, I'm willing to take that risk, and that's what my dog really likes to do. So certainly you can use our items, like I said, the auto zip line, to allow the dog to do that and still be secure in the car.
That's really fascinating. Gordy, let me ask you some more questions about Kurgo itself, because am I right in reading that the company has been around since 2007, or was it around earlier than that?
2003, so about 7.5 years. I think that's probably where the discrepancy is.
I gotcha. And I did read where your sales have just been absolutely growing like crazy, especially with certain products doubling annually. Why is it that Kurgo is getting this attention? What's unique about its products and making your company really stand out?
Well, I mean, there are four things that we've really focused on the products, and I've talked about them before, is that they're really easy to use. So I think when people buy one of our items, they like it because it's easy to use, but also it's high quality, so it lasts a long time. So I think after being around for a while, people are getting many more referrals, and we see it in the surveys that consumers send back after they buy one of our items, that they love the quality and they feel like it's going to last for a long time. And these items get used very heavily. I mean, if you bring your dog, on average, people bring their dog in the car, a lot of people once a day or once a week. And so the items are getting used a lot, and people feel comfortable that they bought something that's kind of, that's of high quality. So the ease of use and the innovation and the quality are why people keep on coming back. And I like to feel like we're growing a following of people who really love Kurgo product, because they feel, even though we are not the least expensive item out there, we're something you buy once and you can use over and over and over again and enjoy every day or every week. When you do use the item, whether it's the harness we talked about, or you know, a leash that we might make, or we even make life jackets for dogs, and all those types of things, there's something that you can feel good about buying and using with your dog.
And what's your form of distribution? Where do most of your products get purchased from? Is it you know, retail sales? Is it online? Is it you know, through you know, national promotions? What's the percentage, and what do you do?
Most of them are bought through local retailers around the country, and there, as you know, many really great pet stores all over the country, and we're part of those. So pet specialty, and then some in the big box pet stores. We are not in any mass market places, so you have to go to your local pet store or online. There are plenty of places online that you can purchase them also.
Interesting. And in terms of people using them, is my understanding correct that they actually attach to the seatbelt system within the car itself, or are they attaching to something else within the car?
Well, you do have many choices. So the harnesses attach right to the seatbelt. And that auto zip line you can attach right to the seatbelt also. But the auto zip line, for instance, you can also attach it to the cargo hooks in the back of an SUV or station wagon kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a minivan in my family, and I'll attach it to, there are many attachment points you can find in there. So we try and make them really flexible, because we know that people have, like you said, some people like their dog to have their head out the window. Some people like their dog to be held in one position. Some like to give their dog the latitude to run around a little bit, although not in the driver's lap.
Right.
But we, you know, we try and make it so that the customer or the driver has a bunch of choices for where they might hook up the dog.
Okay. So, in other words, the animal can be in the front seat of the vehicle if the person so chooses.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the most recommended place, but there are people, many people who do that. And my thought, or our thought again on that, is that if you are at least restraining the dog, you are protecting, you're avoiding an accident to start out with. Mm. And the safest place for the dog is in the back seat or all the way in the rear. But I'd rather see the dog restrained and in the front seat if that's the way the customer wants it, you know, the user wants it, than not restrained. I think the most important thing is to make sure they aren't running around. And you do, if it's a heavy dog in the front seat, you do need to be concerned about the airbags deploying.
Right.
But some items, like our booster seat, doesn't even sit on the seat, so there's no weight on that on the seat. And most of the cars in the last 8 to 10 years requires weight on that seat.
So it doesn't even detect it. Right.
And you guys in Michigan know more about that than I do. So
right. Well, and you're right about it being safer to have them in back. But for example, again, I'll use my dog. When he drives with my wife, he likes my wife to hold his paw. It just makes him feel better while she's driving, and to sit there harnessed in, but still able to have his paw held. I can just see where that's the ideal world for them. So it sounds like what you're doing is driven around what the customer really wants and needs, as opposed to here's what we've come up with, take it or leave it.
Right. That's exactly right.
Right. It answers the problem at whatever direction you want to come at it. The bottom line is that the dog won't be thrown from here to there, or at least getting in the way of your foot pedal.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of – that's exactly right. Those two things, the dog won't help cause the accident. The dog won't get thrown. Even if you stop – I mean, I've met people, they stop short. They have a bumper cruncher at 5 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, and the dog gets thrown into the dashboard and either hurt and actually in some cases killed at only 5 or 10 miles an hour. And then if you get in an accident, you can imagine a serious accident. An ambulance or a police officer shows up, and you have a dog that's very agitated, and they need to get to the person, and the priority is the person. So you don't want something after all that. Either the dog jumps out the window, or the dog is, you know, goes after the first responder, and you lose your dog that way. I mean, all those things are possibilities, and this is just a very inexpensive and easy way to avoid putting yourself in that situation.
Well, we're definitely all benefited by your and your brother's zest for safety. So thank you very, very much. We certainly appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for I always like to talk about it. And one of the things that we've learned is the biggest piece is just letting people know that these products are available and that these things actually do happen. And once they see that, they are very enthusiastic about it because, you know, pet owners, all of us who love the pets like our own children. So it's just important to let people know that stuff is available.
Well, whether you've read about them in the Wall Street Journal or heard about them on Good Morning America, the name of the company is Kurgo, and we've been talking this morning with Gordon Spader, the co-founder. Gordon, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lee and Rick, for having me.
Oh, it's been our pleasure. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation in the next segment and talk about some other really cool products for dogs right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320 WILS. Com.
Dig, if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me.